Thanks for joining us for today's message. We encourage you to email us and let us know what God is currently doing in your life. Or if you'd like to support the ministry financially, you can do so here on our website. Right now, you're about to listen to a message from our current series. Thanks for tuning in today.
I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews 11, if you have a Bible, whatever you use for a Bible. And we're going to begin. We've been doing a series on the subject of faith. And two specific scriptures that I'll begin with is Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's future. Faith is the substance. How many have ever hoped for something? Man, I hope this happens. Well, then the Bible says faith is the substance of that hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. It's the evidence of things not seen. And then it says in verse 6, though I didn't put this down, but verse 6 says, but without faith. I want you to stop for a moment and think about this. Now, he's addressing the church. He's not addressing the sinner, but the saint. He said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. What does that mean? He's going to punish you if you don't have faith? No. It's impossible to please him in getting what he's promised from his word into your life. How many believe that God is on your side? He wants the best for your life. Amen. So not pleasing him is the fact that he wants to get the blessings and promises from his word into your life, but he can't do it without the spiritual force of faith operating in your life. I'm going to read this, even though I don't have it on the screen. I put it in my Bible. It's a definition of faith that God gave me a few years ago. It says, let's listen to it. It says, faith is a spiritual force, listen, inherent in God's word, given to whosoever believes for the purpose of taking you from the realm of limitations into the spirit realm of no limitations. Isn't that good? I just love this. To the realm where nothing is impossible and where all things are possible with God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I just love that definition. Amen. And that's what faith is. It really is the substance of things hoped for. And all the spiritual force of both faith and hope and love, all three, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love, because faith works by love or is energized by love. But you, to please God, you have to choose to believe his word above anything else that you're facing in life. All the storms that we face in life are conquered through the force of faith, trusting God. Amen. The Amplified says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. I love to break these down, but I don't have time. Of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. And I love this part. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So when your senses tell you one thing, go to the Bible and find out what God's word says about you and put your trust in that alone. So faith is simply trusting God with every aspect of your life, spirit, soul, and body. You're putting your life in the hands of God, trusting that he's a good father and he's going to take care of you. And everybody say out loud, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It's true. And then Romans, of course, 10:17 tells us where faith comes from. It comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Passion Bible is interesting. It says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Isn't that beautiful? Faith, I love that. Faith is birthed in a heart that responds to what God has promised in his word. Amen. I said amen. And once you become pregnant with that truth and you preserve that divine pregnancy through your love walk, praise God, you will give birth to the fullness of what God has promised in his word. Isn't that beautiful? It's exactly what happened to Mary. She became pregnant spiritually before she became pregnant naturally. Oh, I could talk about that too, but anyway, don't want to get too deep. Romans, so now turn to Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read a few verses there. I titled this message, the activation points of faith. I titled actually, Act of Faith is always found in two places. We're going to talk about that, which is discovered here in Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10, I'm in Acts 10, I suppose I should get to Romans 10. In Romans, the 10th chapter, the Bible says that verse 6. Oh my goodness. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. This is the King James. Or right standing with God has a voice. Right standing with God has a voice. Did you get that? Okay. Right standing with God has a voice. Okay. And so what does it say? Say not in your heart. Say not in your heart. See, in the during the ministry of Jesus, he was always, by the Holy Spirit, reading the hearts of men. He could read the hearts of those that were critical towards him, right? Those that were in unbelief, he could read their hearts. And he also could read the hearts of those who were trusting and believing in God. So you can, actually not say anything, but things are still growing in your heart. And they will ultimately grow big enough to where they begin to come out of your mouth. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4, you need to protect your heart with all diligence, for out of it, one translation says, for it determines the course of your life. What's in your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. So we'll see this as we go. Amen. He says, let's go on. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ again from the dead. First of all, the Pharisees didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. So he was just addressing those two items right there. And then he says, but what does righteousness, which is of faith, say? What kind of voice does it give to? Here it is. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hallelujah. The word of faith which we preach. When I was on the road, of course, traveling, I told you, I'd get a revelation from God, and then God, by his precious spirit, would give me a song because he knows I like to sing songs. I love to sing his scriptures. One of my most favorite singers and songwriters was David Ingalls. And you may not know him, but David Ingalls, of course, is older than I am. He wrote some of the most powerful word of faith songs you could ever listen to inspire you to trust God. Amen. Amen. All of his songs are a message from God's word. And then, of course, Janie Grine was another one. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. Amen. There ain't no power in this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. Be a doer of the word and you'll be blessed. I mean, the songs were just full of life. And they changed our lives because they built us up to be able to face, confront, and conquer the things that were coming against us to this very day. Praise the Lord. Amen. So he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Amen. Or the faith-filled words we preach, or we announce, or do we declare. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the lordship of Jesus, that's actually what it's saying there. If you'll confess with your mouth the lordship of Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The word saved is the word sozo in the Greek, S-O-Z-O. And it means, to be saved from whatever you need saving from. But this word means deliverance, rescuing, protection, preservation, healing, to be made whole. Can everybody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness and right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Again, deliverance, rescuing, protection, preservation, healing, and wholeness. Hallelujah. Now turn to Numbers, the 13th chapter. We're going to tie all this together about the power of your words that come out of your heart. In Numbers, the 13th, now we covered this. I don't mean to wear out on this story, but it's such a significant example of the power of words in the book of Numbers. And 13th, we'll go there. Now, just to go ahead and cover again, just really quick, the history of this scripture. God instructed Moses, who was a type of Christ, to go into Egypt, which was a type of the world, and deliver Israel from Pharaoh, which was a type of the devil, and bring them into their promised land, a land that they could call their own, because they didn't have anything for 430 years but enslaved to a tough dictator, okay? And so Moses did that. And then God said, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. He said that in the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy. And so he brought them to the land. And the Bible says that when they got to the borders of Israel, it was only 11-day journey. And when they got there, he sent spies in there to spy out the land and to bring back a report so that they could have a strategic military plan to take the country. Why? Because it was filled with enemies. It's like your life. When you get saved, you don't realize it, but your life is full of enemies when you get saved. Enemies that have cultivated your life up to that point, tormented you, oppression, fear, anxiety, worry. Can I have an amen? All sorts of addictions, you know. And you got all these quote-unquote devils that have tormented you. Then you get saved and you think they've all gone in the sense of not yet, you know, they're all gone and they're not going to bother you anymore. Well, that's not true. They got to the edge, he brought back, they went in and it was everything that God said it was. It was everything. I'm a land flowing with milk and honey, okay? Now, the point I want to get to did I say Deuteronomy? I'm in Deuteronomy. I'll make it. Praise the Lord. And then it says here in verse 28, so they confirmed it was everything God said it was. And then verse 28, nevertheless, that word right there, nevertheless, became nevermore. Meaning that right there, that nevertheless opened the door for the curse in their life instead of the blessing. Nevertheless, the Bible says, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And in verse 29, there we found the Amalekites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, okay? Just stop and think about that. But then Caleb said, he said, hold it. Oh, time out. Remember what got you here. Remember what got you to this place. It was faith in God. God did it all. Say, God does it all.
God does it all.
Yeah, we believe him for the possibilities in life, and he does the impossibilities. But he can't do it without your faith, your cooperation. And so Caleb and Joshua, they spoke up even though it didn't say Joshua, but he was part of it. He said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we, that's God and me, God and us, we are well able to overcome it. But verse 31 says, they responded with, we're not able. And when they responded to say, we're not able, both Caleb and Joshua and the 10 others were true. They put their faith in two different things. Two put their faith in the possibility of God. 10 put their faith in the impossibilities of God. In other words, they just wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't believe him. And so what's interesting about this is that in Exodus, now she's just going to put the verse up here. In Exodus 23, chapter 23, this is now in Exodus, while they're making the journey to the promised land, God reminds them of what they were going to do. Here's what he says. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Now beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Make sure you obey. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all I speak, then I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. How many believe that God has never lost a battle? Hallelujah. Amen. See, he's saying, man, don't worry about a thing. I will take care of your enemies. For now, look at verse 23. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off.
Amen.
See, that was their word to hold on to. So when they went in there and they brought doubt, fear, and unbelief back, they did exactly the opposite of what God said. God said, I'm sending my angel. He'll go before you. He'll conquer all them. You just obey me. You believe me, obey me, rest in me, and everything will be just fine. Hallelujah. You know, a lot of people today are kind of, you know, they're Americans are freaking out about what's going on in the Middle East. There's going to be a world war. You just serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and pray, and God will be God of the situation. Can I have an amen? And he'll take care of you. You don't have to get into fear. Amen. So this promise in Exodus 23 was what they were to believe in and hold on to, praise God, as they entered the promised land. But when, of course, we know that that wasn't the case. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 1. Now, because of this negative report, everything up to that point of faith and hope was stripped out of them. And here's their response in chapter 14, verse 1. Then the whole community began to weep aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against the man of God, Moses, and the high priest, Aaron. And then here's what they said. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. And guess what? Their confession at that moment became their possession. And verse 26, here's the confirmation. It says, then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints against me, you know? So a lot of people, they'll just complain and grind and attack the preacher, not realizing that they're actually assaulting God. Yes, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. Now just to be really clear with you, it wasn't say that God was the one who instigated the situation regarding, the only thing he says, you're going to get what you have sown. You're going to reap what you have sown. You're going to harvest your negative, fearful, and confession of unbelief. You're going to inherit that, you're going to reap it. So I will do to you the very things I heard you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you complained against me, and every one of you who is 20 years old and older that was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be, of course, Caleb and Joshua. That was the power of the spoken word. Now, remember, God did not instigate any of that, but what God did in the wilderness, even though they were not in the center of God's will, God still gave them manna from heaven, gave them rock. Think about this. A rock followed them and provided unlimited supplies of water for them in the desert. God gave them a cloud by day to protect them from the sun and a fire by night to keep them warm. Is that amazing? And the Bible says their clothes never wore off. So you can see the mercy and the love and the goodness of God in spite of their rebellion. But they could have had his best if they would have. How many want God's best in your life? Amen. That means you're going to have to be very careful of what you are saying on a daily basis in your life. Because your faith in you, the confession of what you say on a daily basis will come to harvest in your life. Now, the word murmur, in the King James says they murmured against God. That means to be obstinate, especially with words. And when I wrote that down, I said, I wonder how often we've stopped the forward progress of obtaining God's best in our lives because we spoke contrary to what God says about us. Proverbs 6:2, watch this, just a couple of verses here. Thou art snared, that means trapped, with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken captive, the word taken there means captured and occupied with the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 18 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. The Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. You choose. Be honest. How many have ever had sometimes a careless tongue and you regret saying some of the things you've said? Amen. Every one of us have been guilty of that in our relationships, you know, amongst one another, just not realizing the power of our words. Back to Romans 10:8. It says, Paul says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. And what's interesting is Paul, quoting this, was actually quoting a scripture in Deuteronomy 28. So we're going to go to chapter 30, and we'll see what Paul was sharing. Why? Because the Old Testament believer and the New Testament believer have this, they had and we have the same responsibility to get in agreement with God regarding life. Get into agreement with God. If you need healing in your body, get into agreement with God. If you need deliverance from addiction, get into agreement with God. If you need deliverance from oppression, get in agreement with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you need direction for your life, get in agreement with God. Amen. Hallelujah. So look at Deuteronomy 30, and we'll read just a couple of verses here. This is, now, in chapter 30, he's telling the people, if you love me, you'll stay away from the gods of the world that are around you. And you love me and you're faithful to me. Here's what he says, I'm going to bless your life. Now, verse 11 says, for this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down unto us, that we may hear it and do it, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it, hear it and do it, hear it and do it. It's not way up there where you can't reach it. It's not in the deep where you can't reach it. Watch this. But the word is very near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Is that powerful? See, the moment you got saved, the Spirit of God came inside of you and created the life of God in you. Now listen, also the spiritual atmosphere for you, not only to understand the Word of God, but to obey it. Is that awesome? And so we have a responsibility from God to know what His Word says and then apply it to our lives on a daily basis. We are very skilled and we are so skilled and measuring everybody else's life and where they're at instead of just dealing with the piece of real estate that we're responsible over, and that's ourselves. If you agree, say amen to that. Amen. And so the law of confession for the New Testament believer isn't any different than it was for the Old Testament believing. God says, life, choose life or death, blessing or cursing. And that has always been expressed through the power of our words. God said, I have set before you, he's saying that to us today, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. How? By keeping God's words in your heart and in your mouth. Isn't that good? So that both thou and thy family, thou and thy seed, your family, may live. And my dad did this to me, but there are some fathers who told their kids they're worthless, they'll never amount to anything. God like that should be slapped in the forehead real hard. Anyway, but why? Because maybe his father did the same to him, and therefore that curse has just been handed down. You know, but words can be powerful. I was sharing in the first service, and it's true. I was not a good student in school. I had a tough time emotionally dealing with a lot of stuff. And I was messing around in the hallway, and I had a school teacher, Mr. DeMatteis, I'll never forget him. There were certain teachers I wasn't afraid of, but he surely was one I was afraid of. He was a big Greek guy. He was the football coach, and you know, he just looked at you and intimidated you. And he caught me I was messing around, I don't remember what I was doing, but he caught me in the hallway, and he grabbed my arm, and looked at me, he said, bang, you'll never amount to nothing. Those words hit my heart, and those words impacted my life. Now, I'm sure he wasn't trying to be. He's probably just trying to jerk my chain and try to get me to, you know, wake up and realize what I was doing, you know. But words have power. Words have power. I'm sure that there's been things that were spoken over your life at certain periods of time in your life that had a negative impact on your life. That's the power of words. But thank God for His Word. Amen. Amen. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. Amen. Now, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, Jesus, he was addressing the Pharisees who accused him of having not only a demon spirit, but they called him the devil himself. And this is what Jesus's response to them. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil inwardly, bring forth good things speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Verse 35. "Now a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things." Amen. And I mean, what does that even mean? That means as a believer, if you will treasure and you will value the words of God, which are words of life, hallelujah, out of your mouth will flow words of life for other people. Amen. Words of graciousness, kindness, goodness, compassion, mercy. Amen. Those are things that God wants to come out of us as believers. And then he says, "But I say unto you," then he goes on, "and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So I say unto you that every idle, inactive, useless, barren word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." And that day of judgment doesn't mean sometime in the sweet by and by. It means the day of seed time and harvest. Because if you say something long enough and you can't control your tongue and you keep speaking it, you will reap a harvest of that very thing, whether it's life or death, blessing or cursing. This is what he says in his word. Can I have an amen? Praise the Lord. Let's go on. "And for by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Here's the Message Bible. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation. Words can also be your damnation. And I believe when Jesus said that, he may possibly have been thinking about the children of Israel and how much trouble they got in because of their confession. James 1, we'll wind this up. I just wanted to read this out of the book of James. James, the first chapter, says this. We talked about this last week. This is the Message translation. "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors, if there's a faith life there. But if it's not, stuff will come out of you from your Adamic nature that will cause more of a mess in your life than what you're facing at the moment." This is what he's saying, okay? Now, verse 4. "So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it what? Your faith life, do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. Say, thank you, Lord. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it." Now watch this. "Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought." Now people who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. So he's just saying, because you are not spiritually anchored to God's promises, those winds of adversity will eventually come out of your mouth. Has anybody here ever had a problem with speaking the wrong things? And I'm very grateful that we have something called repentance. Amen. Because I believe it is through repentance we dig up those seeds that we don't want to come to harvest. Say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Jesus said words are powerful. Take them seriously. Words can be your salvation, but words can also be your damnation. Then what I think is interesting is that when he talks in chapter 1 about, you know, counting it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, you know, the Holy Spirit at that point begins to address the most important issue of your life, and that is in chapter 3, your tongue. So let's go ahead. See, if you don't control your words, the wisdom that you ask for from God will be for naught because you are speaking contrary now to what the very thing you believe God for. See, God wants to give you wisdom. Wisdom just means the direction. The wisdom is the specific direction how to address and deal with whatever you're facing in life, and you need God's help. Amen. That's what wisdom is. He will give that to you. Look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, he will. Now, James 3, verse 1. So let's read this, and we'll wind this up. Now, dear brothers, don't be too eager to tell others their faults. For we all make many mistakes, and when we teachers of religion who should know better do wrong, our punishment will be greater than it would be for others. If anyone can control his tongue, it proves that he has perfect control over himself in every other way. Isn't that good? We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in his mouth. See, a horse, you know, has, multiplied strength and power over a human being. You know, we raised quarter horses back in the 90s. We had a little ranch and just loved that aspect of our life. And there's nothing like a horse. We just loved them. But it's amazing how that's that bit in their mouth and how God made their jaw or whatever you call it, their mouth very sensitive. You can control that horse with just that little bit, okay? Let's go on. Then he says, and a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue, like the bit or the rudder, it's a small thing, but watch this. What enormous damage it can do. A great force can be set on fire by one tiny spark. I mean, it's amazing how we can go to church on Sunday morning and the sparks of hell are flying by the time you get out the door into the car. At least a couple of you are honest. That's how, why? Because the Bible says Satan comes immediately to steal the word that was sown in your hearts. What enormous damage it can do. Enormous damage. A great force can be set on fire by one tiny spark, and the tongue is a flame of fire. Watch this. It's full of wickedness and poisons every part of the body. And the tongue is set on fire by hell itself and can turn our whole lives into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Man. Men have trained or can train every kind of animal or bird that lives in it and every kind of reptile and fish, but no human being can tame the tongue. Only God can. Think about this. If the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the word of God is in your heart, what is your mouth going to speak? The word of God. Isn't that beautiful? And the Spirit of God, just like when you're sharing a testimony with somebody, how many of you have shared a testimony with someone, all of a sudden a scripture that you hadn't thought about for a long time comes rolling out of your belly, and you're going, wow, that was good. Amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You put the word in, the word comes out. Now, let's go on. No human being can tame the tongue. It's always ready to pour out its deadly poison. Now, sometimes it praises our Heavenly Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against men who are made like God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth, and he's addressing the church. So, dear brothers, surely this is not right. And does a spring of water bubble out first with fresh water and then with bitter water? Of course not. Can you pick olives from a fig tree? No. Figs from a grapevine? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Verse 13. So if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. There's that wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous, and there is a selfish ambition in your heart, Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of right standing with God. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? Why don't you stand up? We're going to pray. Musicians, you can come forward. Amen. So faith is found in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. Always. That's where it's found. So what does that mean? So if on a daily basis, for some reason, you're ignorant of the word of God, then you will just simply be speaking everything that is contrary to God's best for your life. Yep. Say this out loud. God cares about me.
God cares about me.
Say it again.
God cares about me.
He really does. Say
God is on my side.
Say it again.
God is on my side.
Go ahead and thank him for it. Amen. He's on your side. But see, you and I have to line up with him. He's not lining up with us. He's not our water boy. We are his sons and daughters, but we're also his servants. Can I have an amen? And he loves all of us very much. And he's got an awesome week planned out for you. You just have to line up with him. You got something? You're just clearing your throat? Okay. But you have to line up with what he says about you. No matter what. Amen. Thank you. It's true. Randy talked about Miracle March, but years ago we started, I taught on it, March for Miracles. And what was interesting, she reminded me of something. This was many, many years ago. And we just started teaching in March about miracles. What does the Bible say about miracles? How many need a miracle in your life today? Be honest, how many need a miracle in your life today? Could be with a family member, it could be. Yeah, we had a big lit up sign called March for Miracles. And why? Because we're believing God for miracles. And guess what? Guess what? Miracles happen.
Amen.
Because we're believing for it. Amen. One more time. How many are believing for a miracle in your life?
Hallelujah.
Amen. So start believing for it.
Right.
Start believing for it right now. Right now. We'll agree with you. And we'll agree with you right now, for God's miraculous working power will manifest in your life. Yeah. Thank you. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because they weren't the Beatles. They were all written to teach us about the life and ministry of Jesus. And I mean, all of those four gospels are full of the miracle working power of God. By reading that, it'll create faith on the inside of you. Amen. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Meaning, if he did a miracle back then, he'll do a miracle for you right now. We sang about it. Praise God. I speak the name of Jesus. The miraculous. The miraculous. I mean, we saw it all the time. We've been serving God, you know, since I surrendered my life to Christ when I was 20 years old. And she served God her whole life and just backslid for a couple of years and met me. So that was a big mistake. But anyway, but we've seen God move miraculously through the years, supernaturally. And he's the same. He'll do it right now for you. So I'm going to pray for you today. But I want you to, two things I'm going to pray for you today. Number one, I'll pray for you. Number two, then you go to the Bible and start reading some of the miracles of Jesus. Now listen, and when you read them, say, Lord, thank you. The miraculous belongs to me.
That's right.
Amen. Because you are in covenant with God. Praise God. But see, the thing I desire the most in my life is to be more like Jesus. And Every day you're around people that don't know the Lord, every day. So we want, you and I, as a church family, want our lives to reflect God's presence.
Yeah.
Amen? God's presence. Praise the Lord. Say, God is for me.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning services at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have a midweek service on Wednesday nights from 7 to 8. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.